Welcome to today's Leader Information Webcast. This is Benjamin Chi with New Economic Consulting. Mira is the auction manager for AP Ohio competitive bidding process. This is related to the March 2017 auction. Presenting with me today is also Dr. Chantal Lacasse from Mira. I'll start on this next slide with a disclaimer. And the disclaimer here is that the competitive bidding process is a process that has been approved by the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio. And the governing documents include the PUCO's decision in case number 132385 ELSSO. The governing documents in this also includes the documents filed as part of the proceeding under AP Ohio's ESB3, for which I have read you the case number, and it includes the bidding rules, the master SSO supply agreement, the rules and protocols for participation by associated bidders, as well as the Part 1 and Part 2 applications. These documents can be found on the CBP website, and we have provided the link here on AAP Ohio CBP's website. And the disclaimer here is that any statement I make and we make here on this call that refers to the documents and agreements are summaries only and are qualified in their entirety by our reference to such governing documents. And for those of you who have been following the regulatory process, there was a separate filing related to AP Ohio's ESB3 extension that could have affected features of this upcoming auction. But as it turned out, this upcoming auction, the March 2017 auction, remains unaffected by the ESB3 extension proceedings, which is still pending PUCO decision at this point in time. So to be very clear, upcoming auction is unaffected by the separate filing, and that the governing case is the decision by the PUCO under this case number 132385 ELSSO. And the CPP website is the central source of information for the upcoming auction. The website address is provided here, aepohiocbp.com. And on that website, you can find a screenshot here that points you to the Contact Us page to register for email alerts. And you can use that website to sign up to be on the distribution list. There is a FAQ process that is currently in effect where you will be allowed to ask questions online. We will answer you via email, and all Q&As will then be posted as FAQs on the CBP website without identifying the asking party. There is an online application process that takes place, and for that online process, the first step is for you to get an online account, and to do so, you can click on the Contact Us link and then follow through with clicking on the Register for an Application Account link that will lead you there to request for an application account. This presentation, as well as any questions that we may respond to, will all be posted to the CBP website after this presentation. The role of NERA is first and foremost to be the single point of contact for bidders. So if you have a question regarding the upcoming auction, the bidding rules, the terms of the contract, about the data that is found on the website, we ask that you will reach out to us, to Mira, as the auction manager. You can fill out the form online. We will respond to you via email, and then all Q&As, as I said, will be posted to the FAQ section on the website. This will allow us to ensure that all information is provided to bidders in a fair and equitable manner. So as a single point of contact, we will ensure that the CBP rules are followed as they are approved by the Commission, will ensure that BRAC qualifications are evaluated equitably and fairly. We will conduct the auction and we will present the results to the Commission. So the takeaway here is, if you have a question about the rules, if you have a question during the auction process, do not contact the utility representatives directly. Do not contact the Commission directly. Contact NERA as the single point of contact that will assist you through this process. For today's agenda, we'll have five parts. We will walk you through an overview of the auction. We will talk about the product that you will be bidding on. It's a load following full requirements product. We will talk about the terms of the transaction by way of explaining the key contract as well as credit terms. And then we will pause to take questions on the first two parts of the agenda for today before we move on to the practical aspects of the presentation dealing with the application process, how you will apply to participate in the auction, when things are due from you. We will talk about bidding in the auction, what it looks like in the software, and how you will proceed through the rounds in the descending clock auction. And then we will close out with a discussion on the CBP website, on what you can find on the website. One housekeeping item before we proceed, we will stop at two points to take questions. The first point is, as I said, after part two on product design and contract. And then we will take questions at the end of this presentation. And to do so, you can ask your questions at any point in time during this presentation. Simply on the WebEx interface, locate the Q&A on the right side of your screen. Select all panelists in the Ask box. Type in your question. And if you have any questions that deal with specific slides, we ask that you include the relevant slide number as well. And then click Send to submit your questions. So this March auction is going to be held specifically on March 28th. Again, it will begin on March 28th. And this is the last of a series of six full requirements auctions as approved by the Commission under case number 132385 ELSSO. As I had mentioned earlier, there is a petition for ESP3 extension that is currently before the Commission under case number 161852 ELSSO. And the main takeaway with that is, while there is an extension or a petition or an application for the ESP3 extension, nothing in that proceeding currently affects the upcoming auction. And for all intent and purposes, the auction that is coming up on March 28 will proceed as approved by the Commission under the initial case number 132385 ELSSO. And in this process, as I said, this is the last of a series of six full requirements auction. There is a laddering structure involved. And in this last auction, we are looking for a total of 17 tranches, for which there is a load cap that each bidder will not be able to bid or win more than 13 tranches in all. We're looking for a 12-month term that begins June 1st, 2017, and runs through May 31st of 2018. Here on slide 8, we have a snapshot of the results from the last auction that was held on November 7th. This is for information only, and in that auction, the auction number 5, or what we call the November 2016 auction, there were 12 registered bidders. The auction ran 13 rounds. We started the process with a minimum starting price of $70 per megawatt hour and a maximum starting price of $90 per megawatt hour, as announced during the auction process early on in the auction process. The delivery start period is the same that runs for a 12-month term, June 1st, 2017 through May 31st, 2018. This is the same 12-month product that we are after in this March 2017 auction. And in that auction, we were soliciting 17 tranches, and it cleared at a price of $49.78 per megawatt hour. In terms of the product for this upcoming auction, it's the exact same product that we have gone out for auction in November. It's a load following slice of system full requirements product, and it is denominated in a number of tranches. So when we say it's a load following product, what we mean here is that you will have to follow the load of SSO customers. SSO customers are those customers that take retail generation from AEP Ohio. And importantly, they exclude PIP customers. This is not always the case. The first three auctions under the process, the load included PIP customers, but starting with auction number four, through now, the load for supplies taking on the responsibility excludes the load of PIP customers. And we said that is a slice of system load. What it means is that you're not bidding on the residential customers load, not bidding on the commercial or industrial customers load. You're just bidding on a slice of the SSO customers load. It's a slice of system. And it is a full requirement service that will be required of you. And with that, you're required to provide physical delivery to the delivery point. The PNOD ID is provided here for your reference, 12693646700. It's also found in the Master SSO Supply Agreement. And you will be the LSE under the agreement. You will assume the LSE responsibility, including scheduling SSO supply and making arrangements for delivery of SSO supply. And a snapshot of what we are after for this March 2017 auction. Again, this is a 12-month product. The delivery term starts June 1st, 2017 through May 2018. Looking for a total of 17 tranches with a load cap of 13 tranches at the maximum that you may bid on. Each tranche is corresponding to 1% of the load. And in addition to that, for each bidder, there could be bidder-specific credit-based tranche caps that are in effect that are detailed in the CBP rules as well. So you may be further constrained based on the credit rating that you're bidding under. The auction will proceed in a clock auction format and will feature multiple tranches of a single term. So what we mean here more specifically is that we will be featuring in this upcoming auction 17 tranches of a single 12-month term. This is a single product auction. It's a descending clock auction. What it means is that this process will proceed in a number of rounds. And how it works is that you will not name a price, but instead, the auction manager will name a price. We call it the going price of a round. And when we announce a price, the going price, each bidder will state how many tranches you will want to supply at the going price of that round. At the end of the round, if there are more bids, more tranches bid than tranches needed, then the auction will proceed to the next round and the price will tick down. And the rule in these clock auctions is that you may maintain a number of tranches you bid in one round to the next, or you may reduce the number of tranches you bid from one round to the next, but you may never increase the number of tranches that you bid from one round to the next. So we will have these rounds proceed round by round until there is no longer excess supply, and that is when the auction will close and the auction will establish a clearing price. To be clear, because there are variants of clock auctions, For this particular clock option to be without any ambiguity, there will be no sealed bid round, meaning that the auction will proceed as a clock format and all bidders will receive a single clearing price. There will be no sealed bid round and bidders will provide exit prices as they withdraw tranches throughout the auction. This is an announcement that I have to make on this slide 12. First, the minimum and starting price range is provided here. It will be between $70 per megawatt hour and $95 per megawatt hour, inclusive of $70 as the minimum starting price and inclusive of $95 per megawatt hour as the maximum starting price. So two things to note, the starting price of the auction, the round one price of the auction, will start somewhere in between this range, but will not be outside of this range. It will start between $70 and $95 per megawatt hour. The second thing to note is that when we get to the application process, we will be asking you, in particular in the part two application process, to provide us an indicative offer at the maximum starting price that will determine a few things. One is that you'll be required to provide pre-bid security that correspond to the number of tranches that you will indicate as your initial offer at the maximum starting price. The second thing is that number of tranches that you indicated at the maximum starting price will then be the initial eligibility that you will be allowed to bid on at the start of round one of the auction. So as I said earlier, the auction will proceed in rounds. You can either maintain or reduce the number of tranches as the auction proceeds from one round to the next, but you may never increase. So effectively, the number of tranches that you indicate in your Part 2 application as the initial offer at the maximum starting price or indicative offer at the maximum starting price will be the amount that you need to provide correspondingly in your pre-bid security, and as well be the initial, will become the initial eligibility in round one of the auction. The second thing that I'll have to announce here is the megawatt measure. The megawatt measure, right now it's set at 25 megawatts, 25.30 megawatts. And the megawatt measure here is for SSO customers only, and more precisely, it is based on the PLC of 2530 megawatts. Of PLC. The PLC is based on the 5 CP, 5 highest coincidental peaks experienced by PJM in 2016. For SSO customers, meaning non-shopping customers that are accounted for as of October of last year, 2016. So that is what it is based on, but further than that, to be more precise, the megawatt measure reflects the weighted average of the megawatt measure applicable to the first three auctions that include pit load and the megawatt measure in the last three auctions, including this as the last auction, that provides supply for SSO customers without pit load. We have a few FAQs on the website that addresses this calculation and provide more details on this number. You can find those on the CBP website. The other announcement that is made here on slide 13 is that the contract allows us to provide for adjustment to payment terms with seasonal factors. But at this time, we are maintaining the seasonal factors of one. Effectively, we are not contemplating any payment adjustments under the contract. But we are maintaining the seasonal factors to be one at this point in time, but the process allows us to make an update no later than March 10. But as we expect at this point that there will be no payment adjustments under the contract. In terms of the full calendar, the key dates are provided here. As I have mentioned earlier, there is going to be a two-part process, and the part one window will start on Tuesday, February 21, and will be due at noon on March 3rd. So part one applications must be submitted to us and accounted for by noon on March 3rd. Part one applications are for interested parties to apply to become qualified bidders. And for the part two window, it will start on March 9 and it will be due on March 16. So part two process is for qualified bidders that have successfully completed the part one process to submit us additional information as well as pre-bid security. And all these information related to the part two application process, they are all due to us at noon on March 16. Once you are registered pursuant to a successful part two process, the bidder training, the mock auction or the trial auction, will take place on March 22nd. And the auction itself will begin on March 28. And a few other updates here is that the March 10 is when we will provide formal notification whether we're going to update the seasonal factors or not, as well as the megawatt measure. And the round one price, when the round one, the price for which the round one of the auction will start, will be provided 3 business days prior to the start of the auction on March 23rd. And more on the application process, the timeline again is repeated here. The part one application process starts February 21 through noon of March 3rd. And there we will ask you for basic contact information as well as company information. And then there will be these inserts that are provided to you. These inserts are standalone documents on our website that you will have to download, complete them. You have to print them out, sign them, scan them, and upload them back to the application website. The application form online will also require that you provide some supporting documents related to PGM and your financial statements. So you'll be able to do these uploads through the application website. The second part of the application process, part two, will proceed after part one is completed. It will start March 9th and run through noon on March 16th. During that process, it's again an online process. You'll be required to provide certain information as well as your indicative offer. You'll be required to upload the inserts. Again, those standalone documents that you have to download from our website, complete them, fill them out, print them, have an officer sign them, scan them, and upload them back to the application portal. That you have to do as well through the application website. The other thing that will be required of you, if at all in hard copy outside the application website process, is to provide us hard copies of your executed pre-bid letter of credit issued by your bank. Or alternatively, you can also elect to provide us your pre-bid security through cash wire transfer. One thing I want to make very clear on this slide is that there is some minor adjustments that we have made to the pre-bid letter of credit form. The template itself has changed to update for some edits to the title of the signatory to to accept amendments and cancellations of the LCs, please make sure that you use the updated forms on the website. You can download them from the CBP website. If you provide us a letter of credit using the old form, you'll be required to submit an amendment to correct the form or reissue the letter of credit to us. Again, we are not accepting pre-bid letters of credit under the old template. So please download the new pre-bid letter of credit template and bring it to your bank for issuance using that format. In terms of the post-auction process, once the auction closes, the auction manager will submit a confidential report on the auction results to the commission on the same day. And at that point, the commission will render or is required to render a decision on the results of the auction, and they have a two-day window to do so. If the commission does not act within this two-day window, then the auction results are deemed approved or accepted. One thing to note for you is the auction results are contingent on final commission approval. While I say that they have a two-day window to make that decision, historically they have made that decision within one business day. And I'm pointing this out to you because the master SSO supply agreement must be fully executed, and winning bidders must fulfill the credit worthiness requirements within three business days of the commission's approval of the results. So if they make the decision within one day rather than 2 days, the three-day clock will start then. And as the when the PUCO makes the decision, they may also publicly release the auction clearing price as well as the name of winning bidders from the auction. All right, we'll move right on to part two, dealing with the product design and some of the contract and credit terms. First, as I have mentioned, we are looking at a full requirements load following product. So on this slide here, slide 18, we'll cover what it means to bid on a full requirements product first. So the feature of a full requirements product essentially means that SSO suppliers are responsible for providing full requirements service and will assume the responsibility of a load serving entity. And the full requirements service will be service to SSO customers of AEP Ohio, and again, it excludes PIT customers. You bear all costs that are associated with this responsibility. And to be clear on the full requirements service responsibility and the LSP obligations, these are covered in full under the SSO supplier agreement, the master SSO supply agreement. And that is what will govern your relationship with AEP Ohio during the contract term. And attachment F of the master SSO supply agreement includes a sample PGM invoice that provides for the responsibility that are solely the SSO suppliers as well as AEP Ohio as the EDC. And you will find the term the EDC or Electric Distribution Company responsibility referring to AEP Ohio under attachment F of the master SSO supply agreement. In terms of supplier obligations, to tease it out a little bit more on the full requirements aspect, you, the suppliers, will be responsible for providing energy, capacity, ancillary services, certain transmission services, as well as service as may be required by PGM as an LSE. What AEP Ohio will provide under the terms of the Master SSO Supply Agreement is to be responsible for firm transmission service from the delivery point as well as other FERC-approved non-market-based charges. They will also be responsible for any renewable resource requirements. So we have covered in the last two slides about more or less about the full requirements aspect of this full requirements load following product. Here on this slide 20, I'll just flesh out a little bit of the details on the load following aspect of this product. So as I said, you are responsible for following the load and for providing supply to meet the load of SSO customers. SSO customers are those customers that are taking retail electric or generation service from AEP Ohio. They are customers that are not shopping customers. Put another way, they are customers that have not switched to a competitive retail electric service or CREST supplier. These customers will include residential customers but exclude PIP customers. They will also include commercial and industrial customers, lighting customers, and special contract customers to the extent that they have not switched to take service from a CREST supplier. In terms of credit requirements under the Master SSO Supply Agreement, there are going to be two requirements, and you can meet them under two separate unsecured credit lines or with cash or a letter of credit to the extent that you have insufficient credit line to cover the requirements. So the way this works in general, and I'll go through in some detail what the requirements are, is that AEP Ohio will grant to you based on your or your guarantor's credit rating and tangible net worth a unsecured credit line. And any exposure, and there are two requirements here, any exposure beyond the credit line that is provided to you, you have to meet that with cash or a letter of credit. So the first requirement is what we call the independent credit requirement, or ICR. The ICR is on a per tranche basis. You can find the requirement as an appendix towards the end of the Master SSO Supply Agreement, and it's on a schedule that declines throughout the term of the Master SSO Supply Agreement. The second requirement is known as a mark-to-market, and it basically captures the difference between the prevailing market prices on the valuation date and the market prices, in fact, on the date that the auction closed. And each day during the contract term, we will mark these contracts to market. Any exposure that is calculated from the ICR or the mark-to-market that exceeds the unsecured credit line that is granted to you must be met with cash or letter of credit. And the unsecured credit line that is associated with the ICR, the first requirement, is known as the Independent Credit Threshold, or ICT. The second unsecured credit line that is associated with the mark-to-market is known as the credit limit. These are terms that you'll find in the Master SSO Supply Agreement. And again, the unsecured credit that will be calculated for you, either the credit limit or the ICT, will depend on a credit evaluation based on principally the credit rating and tangible net worth of the bidder or of the guarantor. If you have a guarantor, please note that an executed guarantee that is accepted by AEP Ohio must be in place first before you'll be granted an unsecured credit line. And you can find the form of guarantee as well as the form of the performance assurance letter of credit as attachments to the Master SSO Supply Agreement. And with that, I will conclude this first part of the presentation